when I was trying to figure out what the Lord wanted me to speak on, one day I just heard loud and clear the word choice. So tonight I'm speaking on choices. Okay, tonight I'm going to start off by reading Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 20. And it's the choice of life or death. And I'll wait a second while everyone gets there. It's Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 20. This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey? It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and in keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if we go back to verse 19, the Lord through Moses is telling the people, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. And then further down, oh, that you would choose life. God wants us to choose life. And he gave us a free will. That means we have a choice. We don't have to take his advice. We don't have to do that at all. We have the power to make our own choices. But God is telling us which one to choose. He's giving us the answer. He's giving us the answer that he believes will give us long life with wonderful blessings. But how many of us listen? Romans 8, 6 in the New Testament, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He continues to tell us in the New Covenant to choose life, and choosing life is choosing Jesus. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter tells us that our Lord desires that no one perish, but that all should turn to repentance. God sent Jesus to earth to live and die for us, that we would have a way to return to him for eternity. I didn't understand this until 2009 when I was 57 years old. I always thought I was going to heaven because I was baptized as a baby. I thought I already had my ticket to heaven. And when I was in Nicaragua, there were a couple women who did a wonderful street ministry drama called Ticket to Heaven. And one of the women was trying to get into heaven. And she kept telling, she kept saying, "What do I need? What do I need?" And she would had this bag, and she pulled out like a stuffed animal, a stuffed dog one time. And she told them, she says, "I'm good to animals. I'm real good to animals. This has got to be my ticket to heaven." And they said, "No, no, that's not your ticket to heaven." So she pulled a baby doll out of the bag. And she said, "I'm really, really good with children." I said, "That's got to get me into heaven." And it was like, "No, that's not going to get you into heaven either." And she went through a variety of items and was talking about how good she was in all of these areas. And they kept telling her, "No, that's not your ticket to heaven. That's not going to get you in." She even brought the Bible out once and said, "I read the Bible. That surely has to get me into heaven." "No, that doesn't get you into heaven either." And it finally dawned on her that, "Oh my gosh," she said, "Jesus is my Lord and Savior." And they said, "That's your ticket to heaven." So, but there are so many of us, so many people, and I was one of them. Not only did I think I was going to go automatically anyways because I was baptized as a baby, but I thought I was a relatively good person. And how could God not want to take me into heaven? And it wasn't until I got revelation of why Jesus was sent, why God sent Jesus, was to give us the choice to come back, because we lived in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. And because of that, the devil is the king of this world. I didn't understand that before 6 years ago. I didn't know that. I wasn't taught that. So, and I had no concept of being saved. In the 70s, when I used to hear the phrase "born again," I thought it was a religious fad, or at the very worst, a cult thing that was going on. I had no idea that being born again was in the Bible. I don't ever remember hearing that in church. I'm sure that the scripture was read at one time or whatever, but in my church, they never explained things. They never talked to the scriptures, really. They just read the scripture and that was it. So I didn't know about being born again until 2009. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know that I had to choose to accept Jesus. And I still don't know to this day if I was born again before 2009. And the reason for that is because every month when we had communion, we would read the Apostles' Creed, which says that I accept Jesus and I believe he died for my sin. But it was a rote prayer that we said every time we did communion. I said it out loud, as the Bible says you need to do, but Did I mean it in my heart? I don't know. To this day, I don't know. But I know that as of August 2009, I'm definitely born again. At the Gospel Truth Seminar from Andrew Womack, I know that I am definitely born again. I have no doubt. I was going to the church I was going to also. The pastor at the time before I left it, the last pastor to be there, she taught a children's sermon one Sunday. And I don't remember it, so I don't know if I was there or not, but I was told about it later. And she taught the children about the feeding of the 5,000. And she told them that the reason they ate was because the wives and children of the 5,000 brought picnic baskets. So that, and this is a Harvard theological graduate. So, and I had also been taught for many years in that church that by different ministers, pastors, that that God brought terrible things on us to teach us lessons. And it was from that teaching that I came to believe that I had no say or no choice in the matter. I thought I was going to heaven, but as far as living my life, I thought he had predestined me for certain things, which included bad things in order to teach me a lesson. So again, I did not know I had a choice. So I didn't even have a clue as to what my choices could be. That's kind of lack of teaching that we had had. So how awesome was it to discover the truth about why God sent Jesus to die for us? And in doing so, we have choices, a choice between life or death, because Jesus made the choice above all choices. When he was sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane and thinking about what he had to go through, and he ended up making the choice to go through with his Father's will. His Father's will. And because of that, we have a choice today to live or die. Have you ever wondered what life would be like today if Jesus had chosen not to do that, not to go to the cross? Have you ever thought about what life would be like today? And I don't know if God had a plan B. He doesn't tell us that in the Bible. I'm thinking that probably if he did, he didn't put it in because Jesus did follow through and he did do his Father's will and he did make the choice to die, and he died for us, all of us. He died for every single one of us. He made a choice for all people, past, present, and future peoples. He made a choice for all of us. And we need to make one choice, and that is whether Jesus is our Lord and Savior or not. However, once we have chosen that, all we have to do is choose Jesus as our Lord and Savior out loud and believe it in our hearts, and he promises incredible power and blessings for us when we accept Jesus. Most of us, if not all of us, here tonight have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. However, none of us are totally walking in that power and in those blessings. Why is that? I believe it's because we are faced with choices every day that make a difference in how much we are experiencing the love of God in our lives. I know that I am saved. I made that choice. I'm going to heaven. But how am I going to deal with all the choices I have to make on a daily basis? We all have so many choices to make all the time. What do we wear? What do we eat? What do we read? What do we watch on TV? What chores we do and when? People with spouses and children and elderly parents living with them have many, many, many more choices to make when scheduling their daily activities. Lots of times the choices are easy, but lots of times the choices are hard. And I mean, you would think choosing where to eat would be easy. But how many of us have ever played that game? Well, I don't care where we go. I don't care what we eat. And I remember I've been in that situation with several people at once. And everybody said, I don't care. I don't care. But then one adventurous soul would suggest something, and it would get shot down. And then somebody else would suggest something, and it would get shot down. And it would take several more minutes before everyone could agree to where to go to eat. Well, folks, if we can't make a decision, where did the I don't care go to? I mean, in the beginning it was I don't care, I don't care, and then all of a sudden people are caring. Well, obviously people didn't speak the truth. But if we can't decide where to eat, how are we ever going to choose to believe God's word on healing, on prosperity, on how to be a good spouse, on how to raise your children, on how to love everyone, even your enemies, and much, much more that's in God's word? If we can't decide a simple decision of where to eat, and lots of times I know at least the women, I don't know about the men, but at least the women sometimes have trouble deciding what to wear. But if we can't make those kinds of what should be simple decisions, how are we ever going to choose to believe God's word on the important, really important stuff? On healing, on prosperity, on how to be a good spouse, on how to raise your children, on how to love everyone, even our enemies. For God gave us free will. Even after being saved, we have choices to make on whether to do God's will or not. Once we are saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't automatically make us make good choices all the time. We need to renew our mind to God's word, and that takes time. Last week, Pastor Jim told us that we can hear the same message time and time again, but it may be the 5th or 12th or 23rd time or longer of hearing it before something clicks up here. And then once it clicks up here, it's got to generate itself, and we've got to meditate on it and get it into our heart. And once it's in our heart, it's so much easier to do God's will, to go by his word, when we can get it understood up here and then down into our heart. So I have 57 years of making a lot of bad choices. not knowing the word in me. And you know what? Even in the last 6 years, I still don't always make the best choices all the time. Because we are still living in a fallen world. Most of us are around people who, you know, everybody's heard of God, but a lot of them, if not outright rejecting God, just don't have anything to do with God. And it's hard being around that. I've found it hard being around people who are always being so carnal and making really, really poor choices in what they say and do. So knowing the word is not enough. We need to get God's word in our hearts so that when we have life situations come up, that we respond in God's way and not the way of the world. When I began talking about how I was going to deal with all of the choices I have to make every day, the key to the answer for me was to get rid of the I. Because it's not just me anymore. Once I got saved, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. God gave us the Holy Spirit with all his wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And when we start to renew our mind, read God's word, renew our mind, get it in our head and then down into our hearts, as we grow in God's word, as we grow in God's love, it will become easier and easier. We'll never get 100% because, again, we are living in this world. But we can get quite a ways, and we can get to the point where we are living by the choices that we make in an abundant life. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. Oh man, when I first heard that, and it was, wow. Everything good is from God, and everything bad is from the devil. That so totally destroyed my thoughts before that I had gotten from the teaching I had before that God sent bad stuff to teach us lessons. Totally destroyed it. Now I have an understanding that God's love is perfect and God wants us well and prosperous and having an abundant life all the time so that we need to renew our minds to that. We need to get that in us. We need to believe that. So when I realized that I had the Holy Spirit in me and what the Holy Spirit was, I always figured I knew who God and Jesus were. But I tell you, before Revelation, I used to wonder, what's the Holy Spirit? Why Holy Spirit? Why do we even need that? Now that I know, that's where we have 100% God in us. That's where we have all the answers. That's where we have all the power. That's where we have all the blessings. Everything we need to live that abundant life. All the answers we need to make good choices in our life is in us. God is in us and he is there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he is there to help us all the time if we go to him and ask. If we go to him and give him our burdens. If we go to him and thank him and praise him on a daily basis. So I've had to learn to listen to his still small voice and to just get quiet And just when I run into things, just say, Lord, what would you have me do now? And if you can get quiet and if you can hear that still small voice, he will help you make those tough choices. And so I needed to learn that, and I needed to learn that to choose to believe that all things are possible with God. And that when I go to him and ask him for wisdom, for knowledge, for what to do, that when I receive what I think is an answer, and when I have that peace that passes all understanding, that I know I've heard from God. I've had several experiences with that, but the most inspiring experience to me, the one that probably has affected me the most, is my experience with the healing of my hips. A lot of you have heard the short version, but tonight I'm going to give you a little longer version. But it includes many of the choices that I had to make along the way, because this was not an instant healing. I ended up not, it could have been an instant healing, but for me it wasn't. It was a progressive healing. But I tell you, I'll take a progressive healing over no healing any day. Any day. So what happened is, it was in the winter of 2009 and 10 when my hips were really starting to hurt me, and starting to hurt me a lot. And as the winter progressed, it got worse and worse. And it got to the point where I started using a cane. And if you remember correctly, it was April of 2009 that I had revelation of the true nature of God and everything surrounding that, and got me to where I am today. So this was less than a year, but just about a year later, because it was April of 2010, the pain was so bad that I went to the doctor. And when I went to the doctor, he said, your arthritis is really, really bad. You need a hip replacement in your left hip. So we scheduled one for November 1st of 2010, later that year. And so here I was going along thinking, okay, it's going to get taken care of. I'm going to be good. And I have a sister who, when she was 40, had both her hips replaced. So I'd had experience of it in the family. I knew it worked. I knew it was going to be fine. But then that summer, I went to my second Gospel Truth seminar with Andrew Womack. And after spending 5 sessions in 3 days listening to Andrew's word of God, from God, I got really revved up in believing in God's healing. And when I left there, I knew that I wanted to make the decision not to have the operation. But I also knew that after being in the Word that intensely for within a 3-day period, any of us would get bolstered, encouraged, believing that you could do anything with God. So I made the decision, I made the choice to wait. I said, I'm going to see if this stays with me. So I went home, and it was about a month later that all through the month I had such a peace still, a real, real peace, that I was not to go through with the operation, that I was truly believing that I was already healed. So I ended up canceling that operation. And people must have thought I was crazy, but you know what was funny is nobody said anything to me. I thought that was kind of strange because, I don't know, it was just strange to me because I've heard so many other stories of people making decisions and people trying to talk them out of it. Nobody tried to talk me out of this one. I don't know if it's because that peace that was around me was so peaceful, that I was so sure that I came across that way that they just didn't want to bother, or I don't know. I have no idea why. All I know is that I made that choice and I started believing in it. And every single day through my journey before my healing manifested, I would thank God every day that because of Jesus' stripes, I was healed. I would thank him that I had his word so I could walk in faith and not by sight. I thanked him every day that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. John 10:10, I say that all the time. I said it earlier. That one is just like awesome to me, that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. All of these scriptures, I would keep going through my head and meditating on them and getting them into me. And we don't know everything about healing. I'm never going to know everything about healing. And why I've had a lot of instant healings and then some a few days and then some a few months and why this one took years, I have no idea. But throughout the whole process, I made the choice every day that I was going to believe God. Every day I woke up, I believed that that was the day that I was going to be healed. And it was January of 2013 when I had the first manifestation. My whole right leg and my lower left leg, all the pain went away. And so I was just dealing with the major piece of it, which was the arthritis in my left hip. And in I believe it was June of 2013. I was at the doctor's and he took more x-rays and he told me, he said, you have bone on bone arthritis. He said, if you don't have the hip replacement soon, it's going to be too late. And even hearing that, I'd gotten the word so much in me that he had to leave the office for a second, not long after he said that, and go down and get something and come right back. And when he left, I just started rebuking that, saying, Lord, I know the doctor sees bone-on-bone arthritis, but I know that your word tells me that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And I rebuked it then and there. And then a few months later, it was February 5th. I actually remember the day, not just the month and year, but February 5th, 2014. I had tremendous back pain come upon me. And I had had 3 years of really bad back problems in 80, 81, and 82. And it felt exactly like that, the worst of it. It felt like that that weekend. And I just went to rebuking that and just saying, thank you, Lord, that I am healed. It didn't keep me from church that weekend. And it was when I was coming home from church that all of a sudden I realized, okay, my back doesn't feel too good, but I have no pain in my left hip. And that pain has never come back. And I was totally healed of that arthritis. Now, to this day, I'm still dealing with a little residual effect of the back situation, but I am also believing for that to be totally healed. And so it's when we all have choices, we have lots of choices, lots and lots of choices to make all the time. And when we get to the point where we can just take it to Jesus, take it to God, and just give it all over to Him and say, this is your problem. This is what you died for. You took all this on your back when you died on the cross for us, when you died on the cross for me, for you, and you, and you, and all of us. He took it all so that we don't have to deal with it. And He just didn't promise us health. He promised us wealth, deliverance. He promised us a life on earth as it is in heaven. If we can get our mind renewed to His word and get it from the mind into our hearts, man, just think what can happen. So today I walk in relative great health. I'm 63 years old. I'm not on any medications. And whenever things come up, I've had, last time I spoke of a lot of my healings, so a lot of you know of a lot of those. And I've just had such a relationship with the Lord since I got revelation of who He really is and the fact that He loves me so much, that He doesn't want to put bad things on me to teach me lessons. He's there to help me when the devil puts those bad things on me, and that if I go to Him, that He's going to help me out of that. And I think that's what I want to get across tonight, is that we all have choices, lots and lots of choices. And again, I don't make all good ones yet, and I probably won't, because I am still part human. But I am so much happier nowadays. I used to suffer from depression too. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that. But so today, I'm so much healthier. I'm not on any medication, and I used to be on tons of medication. I am just living a much happier, healthier life because of the choices that I have started to make. And so I just want you all to remember that every day when you have a choice. And you know what? He can even help you with the decision of what to wear and what to eat. If you really want to go that far, you can go to Him for that too. But definitely go to Him for the what we would call the big stuff. Go to Him for that. Know that you chose God, you chose Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. He's there for us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So be His friend. Really get to know Him. Read about Him. He should be your best friend. And I think I have, let's see, just... Okay, the last of it that I have wanted to say is that God wants us to live on earth as it is in heaven. We have the choice of immersing ourselves in God's word, believing in it, living in it, and growing daily with all the wisdom and blessings that the Holy Spirit provides for us.